This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Doug Trabu. Closing arguments are almost over, and the life of Boston Marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev will soon be in the hands of the jury.
Judge George O'Toole gave the jury final instructions for a deliberation that could take days. WBUR's Jack Lepiarz is at the courthouse and joins us now. Good to have you, as always, Jack.
Hi there, Anthony.
So, attorney Steve Mellon delivered a pretty vivid and emotional closing argument for the government. Tell us about his final message to the jury.
Well, Steve Mellon delivered a lot of what we have seen from the government so far, and that is painting Tsarnaev as this vengeful jihadi, someone who is out to punish America for its perceived crimes against Muslims overseas. Mellon also took great pains to point out the pain that Tsarnaev has caused. He pulled up photos of the four victims, Crystal Campbell, Lingzi Liu, Sean Collier, and of course 8-year-old Martin Richard. And Martin Richard was one of the key focal points. Mellon actually brought in a backpack, and he brought in this backpack. He placed it down at the podium next to him, and he said this was where Tsarnaev was when he placed this backpack. 4 feet in front of Tsarnaev was a row of children. You had the Martin family. You also had several other children there with their parents right in front of him. And then Steve Mellon waited for 20 seconds. He waited for 20 seconds, and he said that was 20 seconds. Jahar Tsarnaev stood there behind that row of children for more than 12 times that amount of time. In that entire 4 minutes or so, he could have taken that time to move someplace else, not target children. Jahar Tsarnaev, the prosecution says, made that choice to place that bomb there. He made the choice not to move somewhere else.
Right. Then it was defense attorney Judy Clark's turn. Take us through a little bit of what she had to say to the jury.
Well, Judy Clark just finished up her closing statements, and it was interesting. It was in the same way that the prosecution's closing arguments were a microcosm of their larger case, so was the defense. Clark opened by saying that there's no excuse for the Boston Marathon. We've all seen an enormous amount of pain in the last 10 weeks, she said. And she said, but I want to talk to you about Jahar. She was being very personable with the jury. She talked about Jahar's home life. She talked about, and excuse me as you can hear me flipping through my notes in the background. She talked about his home life, about how his father, Anzor, had these extreme mental problems, including visual hallucinations. I mean, eventually diagnosed with psychosis. At the same time that this was happening, Tamerlan and Zubaydat, his mother, were turning to an extreme form of Islam. Essentially, she said, Jahar Tsarnaev went to high school by himself. His parents never came to any of his wrestling matches, even when he was captain of the wrestling team. They never met any of his teachers. Tsarnaev, nonetheless, still thrived in high school. But it was as he went to college, he started flunking out of his classes as his parents moved back to Russia, as Tamerlan turned to radical jihad, and slowly he came under the sway of Tamerlan. But she made a few other points, and one of the big points she made towards the end was the prosecutors, she said, have tried to paint Jahar Tsarnaev as this vengeful, radical terrorist, someone who believes in an eye for an eye, an eye for an eye for deaths of Muslims overseas. And she said, even if you believe that's who he is, that's not who we are, she said.
Now, earlier in the day, Judge George O'Toole spent a good hour and a half giving the jury instructions this morning. Give us a sense of what he said about what they can and can't consider while they weigh this very heavy decision.
Jurors have a lot to consider. It took almost 2 hours to go through the verdict slip that jurors will be going through over the next few days, and that includes 21 mitigating factors presented by the defense. It includes about 10 aggravating factors, statutory and non-statutory factors, presented by the government. But jurors also have to consider various forms of evidence. There's direct evidence. There's circumstantial evidence. You can make inferences from circumstantial evidence. The example he used, that if you see steam coming out of a tea kettle, you can assume that a stove is hot. That's circumstantial evidence. But it's one other interesting point I want to mention is that as far as the aggravating factors, Judy Clark, the defense attorney, essentially admitted that jurors can check off most of the aggravating factors simply by virtue of convicting him. She does take issue with the idea that Tsarnaev has not presented remorse. That is considered an aggravating factor by the prosecution. She said that Sister Helen Prejean's testimony last week showed that Tsarnaev had presented remorse.
All right. So, Jack, with closing statements done, this case is now in the hands of the jury. Do we have, and I know this is purely conjecture, these cases can move quickly, they can take days, any idea at all how long the jury is going to be deliberating?
Well, we will not get a verdict today. I think that's pretty safe to take to the bank. Tomorrow seems unlikely as well. So what we're looking at right now, assuming the jury moves relatively quickly, is Friday and possibly Monday. But I talked to at least one experienced prosecutor who says a good safe bet is that for every 5 days of testimony, you can expect about 1 day of jury deliberations. And that would put us probably at about 4 or 5 days of deliberation.
All right. Well, that's WBUR's Jack Lepiar is reporting from the Moakley Federal Courthouse in South Boston. Jack, thank you as always.
You're welcome.
Stay with us. Coming up, we look at the case of an incoming Boston University professor. Where is the line between provocative intellectual debate and racism? I'm Doug Tribou.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.